But we're learning Michta Mediyahu, Hebrew volume 1, page 113. We're continuing the essay on free choice. What we learned in the last class was, Rabbi Dessler gave us an analogy. He used an example of a person who likes smoking, he's hooked on smoking, but at night he suffers chest pains from his smoking. So every night when he suffers the pains, we said he makes a decision not to smoke anymore. And on the next morning, he has a desire suddenly to smoke. He forgets the pain of the night. He can't remember the pain of the night. And he says he'll have only one. And then he has a second one and a third one, etc. So what Rav Dessler explained was as follows. If the two desires were with him together, the desire not to smoke and the desire to smoke, were at the same time, so first, for sure, the pain that he suffers would overcome the other desire. He doesn't want to feel this pain, so therefore he would not choose to smoke. If he had the two desires in front of him right now, what happens though is that he chooses in the next morning, when doesn't have the other pain in front of him, the pain in front of him, he chooses the weaker desire. And why should he make this choice? And the answer is because he deceives himself. He deceives himself, he chooses to deceive himself. He chooses the imaginary scenario. He chooses that which is not true, the false scenario. And the conclusion we come out here, it's not the desire that pulls a person, but rather the way he chooses to look at, he has free choice. The two situations are before him, but he chooses to interpret each one. The one he interprets correctly according to the truth, and the one he interprets according to what he suits him. As he has an imaginary, he creates an imaginary scenario where he imagines that it's going to be fine, it won't hurt him in the morning, and he chooses that which is false. And that's his own, that's the person himself, that's not the desire of the person. The person is not a prisoner to his own desires, but rather he's able to discern it, and it's him that chooses, the person themselves that chooses, and not, it's not like some people say that you're a victim to your desire, right? That you're a victim, that you have no choice in the matter. That's not true. What we have here is a person chooses to forget. He forgets about the reality. He forgets about what he knows to be true because it doesn't suit him. And he chooses that which is imaginary, but he knows at the time that he's making the wrong choice. He's aware that he's choosing which is false, but that's what suits him. That's what he does. Then we went on to a second point. Yeah, there's a concept called Nekudas HaBechira. Nekudas HaBechira means there's a point of free choice. So the analogy we gave here was of two armies that are warring with each other. And there is where the war takes place on the battlefront. Now, all the territory to the one side is all conquered territory. All the territory to the other side is also conquered territory. The two armies have met on the war field, and that's where they're fighting. And anything behind each one, the front, is all conquered territory. Right? So the same thing is with free choice. A person has areas where there's almost no free choice, where either for the good or for the bad, either things that he's so used to doing, so therefore he wouldn't possibly imagine not doing them, or things that he's so used to doing, even though they're totally wrong, he feels he has no choice in the matter. He's so accustomed to doing the wrong thing. Like we gave the example, let's say keeping Shabbos, the person who's always kept Shabbos, so there's no free choice, it doesn't really occur to him to break Shabbos. It's not really an option for him. That's not on the battlefront. That was the analogy we gave. On the other hand, a person who loves speaking about other people, is addicted to speaking gossip, addicted to gossip, so it's very difficult for him to stop gossiping. So on the other hand, that also could be no free choice. He's so used to it, it's just his tongue runs wildly, so there also he has no control. And the free choice is in a certain area where he's now weighing up, he's now ready to make right his previous wrongs. This is where he's willing to start making changes in his life, That's where the battle is. The battle is on this, in a certain area. Once he conquers that area, he can push the one army, can push the other army back, and then he has new territories to conquer. So the mechanics here is basically what our sages describe as the concept of mitzvah gereris mitzvah. If a person makes a good choice, so that's a victory for the good side, and he's able to push his enemy a little bit back. And then thereafter comes another mitzvah, and it could be the next mitzvah something a little bit harder. But because he's already in the momentum of doing the right thing, so he'll do something even harder. So if he'll push his, he'll push the enemy even slightly more back, another few inches back, another few inches back, and he gains new territory, and all that becomes conquered territory. On the other hand, when a person acts weakly, so that we have the opposite mechanism. We have avera, gureris avera. And one sin leads to another sin. Right? And through one weakness, so he allows himself another weakness and gets from, it goes from bad to worse. On page 113, at the very bottom paragraph, v'cheinu in the inyan hachinuch. So it is with a person's training. Chinuch is only, not only education for children. We ourselves are also educate ourselves. We're self-educated, and our education is an ongoing process. Your education doesn't stop when you turn 20 or 25 or whatever. It stops. As long as you're alive, you're always able to continue to improve yourself. So therefore, education is an ongoing process right through life. And when we say education, we mean also training. A person trains himself. Right? It's not only sometimes you know theoretically, theoretical knowledge is not enough. You need practice. Right? If a person's learning how to drive, so it's not enough for him to read the books on how to drive a car. He can read all the books, but there he has to actually practice it. You have to actually do it, and then you learn it. You learn it on the field, in the field, so to speak. Yesha sheyischanech adam l'harbe min atzev ad shehu batuach boy min ayetzah. There's a person who's so trained to do that which is good, since. So the point that he's confident that the Yetzirah won't get him in this area. And therefore it comes out that his point of free choice is at a higher point. At the lower point he's so used to doing the right thing, so therefore there is no free choice at that point. That's right now. There's no actual free choice. In this area, because this area he's very accustomed to doing the right thing, he's very well trained to do the right thing, and therefore it comes up the free choice is something higher. Lemoshel, as an example, someone who was trained and someone who was brought up with a Torah environment amongst people who are very righteous people, people who are anshe maisa, people who do things, people who get things done, active people. So yo'il lo yachinuch asher nekudas b'chiros lo tiyeh ba'asiyas haveira v'maisa or v'miyas mitzvah v'maisis. So therefore that education is now going to help his point of free choice, that it won't be, there won't be the temptation to do the sin or not to do the mitzvah. He's not tempted to eat what's treif. He's not tempted not to get up in the morning and go and daven. That's not a problem for him. Ele b'dakos avoidus aleva kavona. So where is his free choice? His free choice is something much more subtle. So for instance, he wouldn't give up davening, but maybe he would have less concentration in the davening or more concentration in the davening, but he'd discipline himself not to daydream during the prayers. So that could be, that's his area of free choice. That's much more subtle. That's something that's very much loftier. Because he is davening, he's doing the right thing. It's just how well is he concentrating. So with discipline, he'd be concentrating more. With less, without discipline, he'd be dreaming more. So there becomes his area of choice. And then there's a person who was brought up amongst wicked people, pusim, ganovim, amongst very lowly people, amongst criminal people. It could be by him he doesn't even have a choice whether to steal or not to steal. And if you're feeling hungry in the morning, you go and rob someone, you know, you go and pick a pocket and that's your breakfast. Okay? Or you go into a restaurant, you order a meal and you run out without paying. That's just, you know, that's how you get your breakfast. So by him it could be that's no free choice. And it could be his point of free choice will only be that if he has an opportunity to kill someone in the middle of a crime, and should he do it or not? Let's say, for instance, he's robbing a house. That's not the problem for him. He does that regularly. That's fine. He's robbing a house and suddenly the owner comes in. So now, either he can allow himself to be caught and go to jail, or he could kill the owner of the house. Now, he's never killed before, but he doesn't want to go to jail either. You know, he doesn't have the other. Either he kills this person and gets away free, but then he's a murderer, or he gives in to the owner of the house, and therefore he has to go to jail, which he doesn't want to do. He's, you know, he's never been to jail. He's always been successful. So there we have, that's also an idea. He has free choice at this moment. About the stealing, there's no free choice, but about killing, there's a free choice. Should he kill or not? Is he going to become a murderer now or not? So that would be maybe an extreme example, but also an example in the negative sphere. V'sham hi milchemes yitzro. There will be the battle of the different desires. Kizuya emes asher yavchin bo al pi yetzer tov shelo b'madrigosi. Because this is the truth which he discerns with his good inclination and according to his level. So that's his level. Right now, that's his choice. If one person is choosing whether to dream during his davening or to concentrate, and the other person is choosing whether to commit murder or not. Right? But it's exactly the same mechanics, it's the same war of a free choice at that point that he's been challenged. If he listens to the Yetzer Hara, so then he will fail. Now what we're gaining from this point is as follows, that one's education does not affect the idea that there is free choice. As you can't be educated out of free choice. There's always free choice. Your education cannot remove free choice from you. There's always free choice. And but the education can affect the place of your free choice. Is the place of your free choice in a higher realm, or is it in a lower realm? Because Adam, Mishas Yitzirosa, Nitendo Akoyach, Hasheyucha, Lakira, Emes, Shiyeda. Every person, from the moment that he's created, from the moment he comes into this world, so he has the ability to recognize truth that he knows. He's informed about the truth. You can choose to acknowledge the truth. But sometimes you're told something which is not very pleasant. You don't want to hear it. Let's say your favorite candy is no longer kosher. So you're very reluctant to hear that news. So it could be you can choose to regret. You choose to reject that information. No, maybe it's not true. You know, it's maybe just a rumor, and it's not. The rabbi didn't really say that. It's just someone who's making. Okay. So it could be that he has the choice to whether he recognizes the truth, right? Okay, like back to our example of the smoker, right? To recognize the truth that if he smokes, it is going to hurt him that night. Or to reject it and to forget about it. To overlook it. Okay, according to his value, according to his own level, whether he either cleaves to the truth, he hangs on to the truth, and he does not ignore it. Even in the face of all sorts of imaginary desire, all sorts of imaginary scenarios, which are all sorts of calculations, he makes calculations that really it shouldn't make a difference, and really it won't harm him, and really it's okay. Okay, it's probably okay. Right? Sometimes a person has a question on Shabbos, should he be doing something or not? Right? This is maybe it's a question, is this item, is this permitted or not? And he says, well, it's probably okay. It's probably okay, you know. He makes an estimation that probably the rabbis would say it's okay. So it's okay. It's good enough. That's okay. No problem. So that's a person enters the realm of imagination or he clings to the truth. It really makes no difference whether his education has raised the place of his free choice, the point of free choice, or has lowered it. Because it's always this ability to recognize the truth which he knows to be the truth. As he's whether he's willing to live according to the truth that he knows to be true, that's always the scenario. That's always the challenge. Are you willing to live according to the truth which you know to be the truth, or are you going to ignore it? Miata. So it comes out from here. Kol Odom Yesh Lo Bechira B'Mokum Nekudas Bechira. So each person, every single person, has free choice in that place which is his point of free choice. However, the place of his free choice is prepared for him in advance. As different people are born to different environments, with different education, with different training, with different friends and neighbors, different family. So the place of his free choice is prepared for him in advance. And the point of free choice is determined either by his prior decisions, in which case he has moved his point of free choice to a higher point, or he's allowed it to slip to a lower point. So it's either his place of free choice is a place which he himself has reached, either positively or negative, or situations which they gave him from the heavens. The heavens put him in a certain situation. That he was put into an environment where he was trained from his youth, went from being a young child, when he still didn't know the difference between good and evil. A small child doesn't know the difference between good and evil, and if we just accept whatever everyone else is doing, so then that's what he's going to do. Why does Hashem put different people in different situations? Why does each one of us have a different situation? That's the big question. Why are we not all at the same place? Which is going to make a difference in terms of your point of free choice, in terms of how righteous you are. It could be one person's a very high place, one person's a very lowly place. So this is not discussed in this topic. I think we spoke about this once. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts different people in different situations so that each one has his unique challenge in serving Hashem. You bring your own special gift to Hashem because you face your own challenges, your own obstacles, and you were able to overcome your own hardships and do the service for Hashem. It's your unique gift to Hashem that no one else has given this gift. Each person is totally unique, and therefore each person brings as a gift to Hashem something that's totally unique, something that no one else has ever given to Hashem. And that's your special challenge. But in a sense, also what we're seeing here is that all people are equal. All people are equal because all people have free choice, wherever they happen to be. And in that point of free choice, they choose to do that which is good or that which is evil. Right? It's their choice. They're creating their own lives, right? And they're producing their own lives with their free choice. And they either making beautiful gifts for Hashem, or they're making a trash pile for Hashem. Right? They're dirtying the world with evil choices. But this is really the point where we're all equal. We're absolutely all equal. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your education is. Doesn't matter how intelligent you are. All of this falls away once we're at the point of free choice. This is where the service of Hashem takes place. Hayoytze midvareinu. So it comes out from all that we've said. That the choice is only at the point of free choice. As we mentioned before, it's like the battle between the two armies, and there's the front line between the two armies. That's where the battle takes place. The place of this choice is through different reasons which preceded this time. Right? All your history up to this point leads you to this point. However, there are no sources, there are no causes that can actually remove your free choice. That's not removable. That's always there. That's always right through our lives. We always have every person in any situation. Could be a person who's bedridden, also making choices all the time. What sort of thoughts does he think? Does he think negative thoughts or positive thoughts? What sort of words does he say? Does he say negative words? Does he say positive words? There's always, every situation is always there. Now this is explicitly written in the Torah. It says in the book of Dvarim, end of the book of Dvarim, towards the end, towards the climax of the Chumash, it says, I've placed life and death before you. Right? I've placed life and death before you. Pirush, which is to say, Mizug Hamidus, which is the blend of all the different attributes. Person has a whole set of attributes, positive attributes, negative attributes, positive midas, negative midas, and he has a mix, a unique mix which is uniquely his. Right? There's a little bit of charm, and there's a little bit of generosity, and there's a little bit of righteousness, and there's a bit of laziness, and there's a bit of happiness, and there's a bit of sadness. It's all mixed together. It's all this marvelous mix which is uniquely his own personal character. Hachinuch vasviva, and also his education, his training up to this point, all that he's learned, all the books that he's read, all the classes he's attended, all the ideas he's thought of himself. Own your own thoughts, right? A person sometimes has a thought, and you think about it, and it becomes something you can incorporate. You build it into your character. Hachinuch vasviva, and your surroundings, the type of people you live around. If you live around lowly people, they will influence you in a negative way. If you live amongst holy people, righteous people, they will influence you also. They will pull you up. You're amongst very good people, you have very good neighbors, so they will pull you up, even though you're not really at their level. They will draw you up to their level. And therefore, these choices which Hashem places before you will set for you whether you're going to choose today life, which is goodness. Right? To choose life is to choose to cling to Hashem. Hashem is the source of life. All life comes from Hashem. So therefore you choose to follow Hashem, to cling to Hashem, to connect yourself with Hashem, which is life and which is goodness, or which is the truth, or mavis, or death. We choose death, which is being far from Hashem. Hashem is the source of life. So if you depart from Hashem, you leave Hashem, so you're choosing death, because that's the option. Hashem is life. And to go against Hashem is to choose death. So a person chooses death, which is to choose evil, which is to choose falsehood. So are we choosing truth? Are we choosing that which is true or that which is false? Are we choosing that which is good or that which is bad? Are we choosing that which is life or that which is death? Oysam nasati lefonecha. That's the pasuk. At the post says, "Achayim v'amoves, life and death, I have placed before you." There it is, right in front of you, right now in this situation. Even every moment, you're making choices. The heim hadvoyim and the surim; these are givens. The givens are the life situation you're set into. You're put into a situation. You are being challenged. Someone is speaking to you in a certain way, and you can respond in different ways. You can respond negatively. You can respond positively. That's placed before you. Without you doing anything, you're thrust into a situation without anyone consulting you. You're just put into a situation. Just like all of your other surroundings are givens. Right? You don't choose to have all the buildings around you. You don't choose to have the roads in front of you. You don't choose to have whatever it is, the sun shining or the rain falling. It's not. You're just put into a situation. But the choice to choose life, habechira b'chayim, to make the choice to live, b'meshu b'tzius v'emes, which is to say that you're going to choose that which is real, that which is true. Ha'adam levadei oise oiso, the person himself makes that. That is totally in your domain. That's in your domain. That's what you control. Everything else you don't control. It's all given to you. But that choice, how you respond to a situation, how you act, how you think, how you speak, that's your domain. Mishum siba shetifo lalav, without influence from outside. That's purely your choice. You push the button, or you don't choose to push the button. Or you choose to push the green button, or you push the red button. And that's it. You choose which button you're going to push. Vezer gam pirush amru chazal, and this is also what the rabbis have taught, another very famous teaching that we know, is the teaching that says, it's in the Gemara in Brach, it says, Hakol bidei shamayim, all is in the hands of heaven. It's all being controlled by the heavens. We have no control of it. Kol asher yikre la'odim, which is to say, anything that happens to a person, your situation of peace, your situation of war, your situation of plenty, or you're in a situation of famine, there isn't food, all that situation, Hakol bidei shamayim, that it's all prepared, all of the situation which you're placed into, which precedes the free choice, which is also to do the level of your free choice, your own personal level is a given. Also the type of test that comes up in front of you, the type of test you put into, the type of challenge. That's all from the heavens. Your personal situation, where you are at the moment, where you're holding at the moment, how much you know at the moment, how much you've been trained, how much you've been educated, all that you have, and all that you are, and all that, where you are right now, the place and the situation and the chest, all of that is Bidei Shamayim. Everything in your life, right, the people in your life, the family you have, the friends you have, all of that's a given. That's got nothing to do with you. Chutz, the one thing that's not in the hands of heaven, the chutz v'yiras shamayim, with exception of your fear of heaven. That is whether you choose to respect Hashem's wishes or disrespect Hashem's wishes. You treat Hashem's wishes with respect, or you disregard them, you ignore them, you forget about them. Right? You choose not to hear. Right? The mother tells the kid, throw out the garbage. Oh, I didn't hear you. Sorry. I already left. Bye. Okay? I didn't hear. I'm sorry. So, Shehutzai, like the Oysa Beliba Me'atzma, where a person himself has the controls. Exactly how we respond is totally in our control. Zei Mucha Shelo Yisale Me'emes. And that's why he has to not hide himself from the truth. We have to always be willing to recognize the truth. What is good here? What should I be doing? What's the right thing? What's the right response? That's what we should be asking ourselves. Whether it's because our fear of being punished in the afterlife or being punished even in this world, there are consequences. If you make a wrong choice, there are consequences. If you act mean, so normally it'll come back and bite you. Right, normally you treat other people badly, so it's going to you'll be treated in the same way sometime down the road. So whether you're choosing because of your fear of consequences, your fear of negative consequences, your fear of punishment, future punishment, and the Yerushal Madregas, a Yosig voice, or whether you're choosing to do the right thing because of higher levels, maybe for the love of Hashem, to get close to Hashem. Whatever is motivating to make the choices, all that is part of the calculation, but it's your choice. Okay, that finishes the second topic. So again, just quickly to recap, the first topic was the idea that a person has free choice and he's never a prisoner of desires. Right? He can choose to recognize the truth or to hang on to some imagined reality. It'll probably be okay, it's probably fine, it won't hurt me tonight, etc., etc. That's number one. A person has free choice. Number two is all of our life goes on at the point of free choice. That's really where we are choosing between good and evil. There's a point of free choice, and that's where our battle is fought. And we can either gain ground by making the right choices or lose ground by making the wrong choices, where our free choice will be pushed back, and then we're going to have a different type of challenge at a lowest station. Okay, idea number three is called Achrayas HaBechira, the responsibility which surrounds our free choice. What does that mean? Let's see Rav Dessler. Yesh Hefresh Godel, there's a big difference. Bein Mokom Nekudas HaBechira Shekavu Min HaShemayim. There's a big difference between the point of free choice where the heavens fixed for you. Or whether the point of free choice which he chose which he set for himself through prior choices. Now, sometimes there's a situation that you've been born into, right? And you didn't get to choose your parents, you didn't get to choose your friends, you didn't get to choose the school that you went to, or the neighborhood you live in, etc. So that's fixed from the heavens. And then there's another point of free choice that you have created for yourself by your prior free choices. Because if you keep making good choices, so your station moves, right? You move to a new place. So there, you can reach a certain point of free choice where you are responsible for bringing yourself to a higher level or to a lower level. So there's that which the heavens determine, and there's that which you yourself have set for yourself, right? Through prior free choices. Okay, that difference is clear. Avu mokam hanakudish akovu be'atzma. Now, concerning the place that you've set for yourself, hinehu achray alav. That place which you have set for yourself through prior choices, on that you are responsible for. You're not responsible for what they gave you, because that wasn't your doing. But that which you set up for yourself, the choices that your prior choices which brought you to the place you are right now, so that you are responsible for. Ka'amram Zal, like our rabbis have taught, Ova Aveira Vashinabo, person who did a sin, and then he did it again. Did a sin once, and then he did the sin again. Hutrelo, it becomes permitted to him. That's what the Gemara says. You've done a sin, and then you did it a second time, it becomes permitted for you. Right? So the Gemara says, what? Hutra Salkadai? What? He's permitted? What, he's an idiot? He thinks it's now permitted because he's broken Shabbos a few times. Now there's no more law of Shabbos. The law of Shabbos has fallen away. Does he really think it's permitted? And the nicest look at it says, the Gemara, no, it's like it's permitted to him. It's in his mind, it's already, you know, it's okay. He's done it before and nothing happened and, you know, no lightning bolts came and hit him. So therefore, it's like it's permitted for him. It's already become, the whole thing's become, he's treated it in a certain slack way, and therefore it's become a much lighter thing. What used to be much more severe is now, he's now treating it lightly. So it becomes like it's lighter. Ki afal pisha'eino oive ka'es bederha bechira. So therefore, even though right now, he's not really making a choice. Right? For instance, let's say he's always been lenient in terms of Shabbos, and now it's already become a habit, and he does it automatically. Automatically he breaks Shabbos, chas v'shalom. Because it's already like it's permitted to him. Nevertheless, he's responsible. Because since he made the original choice that brought him to this situation, and therefore it's just a consequence of what he chose in the past, so therefore he'll have to pay a penalty for it right now. Right? There was an example I once heard, Rosh Hashivas, they were traveling on a plane, two Rosh Hashivas sitting on a plane, and the stewardess comes along, a Goisha stewardess, she brings them the food, non-kosher food. So they said, no thank you. So she took it away. So the one says, the other rabbi says, you know, you think we'll get reward for that? Because obviously, who would imagine, there's probably kosher food in the plane, you know what I mean? You know, why should we eat this food? Who would want to eat this food? Why is this really a challenge for us to send the food away? So this was the point that came out, that if this is based on a prior good choice that you made in the past, and now you've built up a resistance that you would never succumb to this temptation, it's just not a temptation for you anymore, you do get credit for it. Because this is part of the personality that you've built over the years, right? These were two elderly men in their 60s, 70s, and this is the consequence of years and years of the service of Hashem. They wouldn't even look at it. They don't even seen a peer. You know what? Let's just see what they're having for lunch. You know, not going to eat it. We just want to see. You know what it looks like. What does it smell like? Right. So there's no. It doesn't. Okay, it's all a build. It's all the result of a history of choices. Right? So therefore, if a person now sins out of habit, it's become a habit, he's still going to be punished because he chose to sin in this area in the past. It caused him to lose his sensitivity to the prohibition. He used to be sensitive to the issue. Now he's not sensitive. He doesn't even feel it anymore. It doesn't prick his conscience. It doesn't hurt him at all to think. He doesn't even think about it twice. But he himself threw away that sensitivity. He was sensitive to this. He's just become, it's grown into a blister. Now he doesn't feel anything over there anymore. And he will be punished through the idea that he made this avera into something that's permitted for him. Even though right now he's sinning in this area without making any choice. Whereas, if it's evil that a person has been educated into and he never knew the opposite, in this situation, he is like the child who was captured amongst the goyim. a baby was stolen from its parents. A Jewish baby was stolen from its parents from the crib and was brought up amongst goyim, who were thieves and criminals. So he never knows better. He never knows better. They might even tell him he's Jewish, but it doesn't mean anything to him. So what does it mean to be Jewish? Right? So therefore, that's called Tinok HaNishba. He was the baby that was captured, that was kidnapped. Lo Yanesh Alma. He's not going to be punished. So he's not punished for breaking Shabbos. He never knew better. He had no choice in that. Kufima Sheitzach Lilmoy Ledas Leshuv Mimeno. Right? However, according to that which he should have learned, which he could have learned to know and to return from it, which is where his point of free choice, for that he will be responsible. Now, if later, let's say, this child was captured from the goyim, later on meets a person who's willing to bring him back and who can speak to him and helps him to understand really what his mistake is, and he does understand. And at that point, he chooses not to go back. So at that point, he takes on responsibility. As long as we're at the minute that the truth is recognizable to him, he's now mature enough and old enough to understand the truth, and he chooses to go with the truth or to go against the truth. That's at that point, a person is responsible. And every choice a person makes, it makes an imprint, it makes an impression for every situation throughout his life. Every choice you make has its own flavor, right? It has its own color, it has its own taste, its own smell, right? It actually, right? You chose a certain path, you chose to do a certain action, positive or negative, so it leaves a certain taste, which now becomes part of you. Right? There's an imprint, there's an impression. Just like if you once saw an awful scene, so it's stuck in your mind. You can't get it out of your mind. Right? You saw something terrible. So it's you know, maybe after years you sort of forget, but even after you forget about it, you don't really forget about it. It's still there in the back of your mind. You still have the imprint of what you've seen. So the same thing. Everything you've chosen creates an impression on your personality, which lasts for your entire lifetime. Whether it's to a smaller degree, maybe something very subtle, or whether it's to a larger degree, something very dramatic, whether it's something that's positive or whether it's something that's negative. And also you should know that these choices we make is not only affecting ourselves, each person individually, it's going to affect how he trains his children. Because the choices he's made is going to affect the message he gives his children. And the message is not always the words you say, it's your actions. Right? The Rav Scheinberg gives the analogy, you have this Shabbos afternoon, right? Winter afternoon. So the father gets into the bed after the children, he gets into the bed and he covers himself with a duvet and he's got it over his head, and just as he's covering himself, he opens his mouth, he says to his kids, go and learn, go and learn. Shouting at his kids, go and learn. You know, what's the message they're getting? You know? There's the father underneath the duvet. He's shouting, go and learn. You know? So we understand that, right, his own choices also, you know, that's the picture they see. You know, why should they go and learn? You know, dad's under the blankets. I'm also going to get under the blankets.
If they would, they don't.
So therefore, it's not only affecting ourselves, but it's affecting our children. The and all sorts of consequences. What he's affected his children, or how his children are going to affect their children. And their children will affect their children. This could go on for generations. A person's actions could have an effect that goes, exactly how powerful the effect is, it could be, it depends. But there certainly will be an effect that goes right through tens of generations into the future. Also, every person affects his community, his surroundings, his neighborhood. It's going to affect his neighbors. If he acts a certain way, that's going to affect his neighbors, it's going to affect his town, it's going to affect his country. And all of the environments of all the future generations. He's affecting his neighbors, and the neighbors affect their children, and that goes on for their generations, and meanwhile, those children affect their neighbors. So therefore, it has a ripple effect which goes very, very far. Svivo is the same as Seif Koladiris, which could go on both in terms of time and in terms of the spread could be very wide-fetching. In short, every choice makes some sort of impression throughout the entire world. Every choice we make has some sort of impression that it makes on the entire world. All sorts of consequences that will come from that impression. And all of this, the one who has made the choice is responsible for. So it is with every person is responsible for his choices, with every choice he makes. And therefore we should be amazed how much reward there would be for a good choice. Imagine someone who's made a good choice and other people are impressed by his good choice and they're encouraged to do the same thing, and therefore they start making good choices and they affect their neighbors to make good choices and their children to make good choices. One person did it, made a good thing. He's had a wonderful effect. He's affected thousands of people without his consciousness. He's not even aware of it. Maybe even tens of thousands of people. He's affected with his choice, and he gets reward for all of that. All of that is to his credit, because through his choice, other people have been affected to follow his example. And conversely, the opposite is also true. How great will be the responsibility for someone who's made an evil choice? How many people has he affected in a negative sense?